9 o'clock Mountain Time. It's Wednesday, September 23rd, 2020. Tom and Shane on the air, and we are live on Facebook every day at this time, 9 a.m. Mountain Time. So mark that down in your calendars, because we are always here every weekday at 9 o'clock. So happy to have you along with us. Thanks for tuning in this morning, and as we are here every morning at 9 a.m. Mountain Time, as I so eloquently said earlier. And hey, don't forget, Tom and Shane, we're on the radio every Saturday, 8 to 11. Listen live at KMMSAM.com. That's 8 to 11 Mountain Time, of course. I probably need to put that in there, shouldn't I, Shane? That's got to be Mountain Time, because otherwise, what would it be? So there we are.
I assume it's Eastern Standard Time. That's what it would be.
Well, yeah. Well, nobody on the East Coast will listen to us, you know. I mean, otherwise, New York would be okay. Hey, if you missed any of our past shows, guess what? They're all online, KMMSAM.com. We just passed 5,600 downloads, 5,635 downloads of our shows, 488 shows in are over there available to you if you want to check those out. And once again, those are at KMMSAM.com. So you missed any or part of any show, you can get it back. And if you're watching on YouTube, we're simulcasting on YouTube right now, of course. Please subscribe, like us, and give us a comment. You know, give us a question. Give us something, you know, whatever you want.
Yeah. Let us know you're there.
Yeah, let us know you're out there somewhere. So all right. Well, let's see. We got some folks in here now. So let's get rocking and rolling here. The Senate's got everything they need to do this before the election. The question is, will they do it before the election? Shane, what do you think?
Yes, apparently.
They will.
Yeah. You'll provide the appointment. And as we said, Senator McConnell. McConnell from Tennessee. Gosh, McConnell.
Kentucky.
I get both wrong.
Should we go back and start over?
Rand Paul is from Kentucky too, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so, majority leader in the Senate, a Republican, he's a pretty wiry old guy, knows the rules. So he'll bring it up for a vote. Once they bring it to the floor, then they can do two things. They can either send it to committee, which would be in charge of, as we said, the South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham. He's the chairman of the Judiciary Committee in the Senate.
Yep.
Or they could forego that and just have an up or down vote, and they've got the votes now, so that'd be it. And as I said before, since 1900, four associate justices have been approved on the day that the Senate received the nomination. So could happen in like 4 days.
Yeah. So. All right. Karen says, enjoying the news hour. Thank you very much, Karen, for being with us. We appreciate that very much. Julie says, good morning, gentlemen. So happy to have you here. Linda's here. Good morning, Linda. How's it going with you? Glad to have you along with us. Thanks for stopping by and checking us out. And, Jim says, Mitt Romney says he's going to vote, but he didn't say which way. Well, no, I think he's going to vote. I think he's going to vote for, confirmation.
They all realize. It's the principal job of a senator to do this. It's right in the Constitution.
So, well, that's so true. Yeah.
Ignore it would be pretty strong. I'm amazed the only two Republicans saying they're not are women. Yeah. You know, Susan Collins from and that Malchowicz or Mara
Kowalski from Alaska. Yeah,
both women. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who is that gal that was the Secretary of State under Obama? What was her name? You know, women. No. Before Hillary, the older woman that said during the 2016 campaign, if you don't vote for a woman, you can go to hell or something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, come on. Oh, my God.
It's not important, you know. Yeah, but that, no, it isn't. Yeah.
One of our smart listeners will tell us. So,
yeah, of course they will.
Yeah.
The bottom line is it's pretty clear the American people get this. They've gotten the message. Mm-hmm. It's a requirement under law. It's in the Constitution. Democrats, you know, they've come back hard on it. And then the media, including CNN and MSNBC, I have to admit, all the media have been pulling clips, you know, from 2016 and even before, 40 years back for Biden, you know, saying this should be done right away. It shouldn't be held up, and so on and so on. And then people have brought up the numbers about Ginsburg in an election year, 48 days, confirmed before an election. I believe it was a midterm election in 94 for Clinton, which he did bad. And remember, he lost the House and the Senate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if they hadn't have done Ginsburg before that election, they might not have gotten one.
Yeah. Jim says apparently it's not in the Demolition Party's constitution. So that may be.
Yeah, that's
that may be entirely true. So, that may be the case. So. Well, it's going to be really, really interesting because, Trump said he's going to announce on Saturday, whoever it is, and we think it's going to be Amy Barrett. But if not, whoever it is, he's going to announce it on Saturday. And then next week, Lindsey Graham says, I'm going to start, the process. And, they might get it done before the election. But even if they don't, still, they could still do it before the end of the year.
It's a done deal. He'll have, Trump, win, lose this election, will have appointed three justices to the Supreme Court. And for the most part, changed it really for forever.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So no matter.
Well, and also too, with some of these mail-in ballots in some of the states, it may be after the new year before we actually find out who the president actually is, depending on how they handle mail-in ballots.
With her done before the election, the Supreme Court's full. Mm-hmm. Now the Chief Justice can vote for wherever he wants because there's a majority of conservatives now. And the thing about this is that this whole issue about election day is election day. It shouldn't be expanded. It shouldn't be extended. The only thing that we'd ever seen in the past was that polls were allowed to stay open because so many people showed up on election day.
Yeah.
But, you know, this stuff about, if it's postmarked before midnight on election day, it can be open for it's still good for another 3 days.
Yeah.
And bunk. If it hasn't been opened up, by election night when the polls close, like everyone else, it goes in the garbage can. It doesn't count. And I'm just saying that may be what the U.S. Supreme Court may have to say in anyone coming to them, because if they don't, then why don't you have three? Why don't you have three voting days? Or, instead of one day to vote physically, why don't I have a week? Yeah. I mean, if people can mail it in, it still can be good for 3 days after the election day, then, there should be a 3 day election day. There's so many things wrong with what these left.
Well, that's what we do with our income tax, though.
Well, yeah, but look at the judges making these decisions, these calls, like in Pennsylvania, he made it.
Yeah, sure.
It all sounds good. It's like a talking point. The judges are sending it around each other.
Yeah.
Well, listen. If it's got a stamp on it on election day, then it's good for 3 days or 6 days or whatever. No, election day is election day.
Well, I agree fully with you, but we do the same thing with the IRS. As long as it's postmarked by April 15th, regardless of when it shows up at the IRS, they count it as on time, and that could be the same thing with the post office.
But you don't have to send it in on the 15th. You can get an extension.
Well, you can, but you got to send it in by October 15th.
I understand that. But the point is you can get an extension.
That's true.
So you can't compare the two. I mean, if you're in a business, you can get an extension for like 3 months you know, every year.
Well, 6 months actually, but you have to send it in by, if it isn't postmarked by October 15th with your extension, you're going to get a penalty and interest.
I thought it was April 15th.
April 15th is when it's due. You can get an extension till October 15th.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But the point is, we're making a comparison, and it's a fair one, because in another example of government and the way it operates, you know, that's an allowable extension. Well, yeah, sure it is, because it doesn't make it's a personal, it only affects you personally, not the entire country and the world. I mean, this is, you know, this is too big. And then you have the context of, no one has this set up like America has in the world. Well, that's not a fair statement. Of course, they have it in a lot of European countries. Mm-hmm. But most of the countries in Europe are on a parliamentary type basis. So the government can call the election whenever they choose. India is the only other country. It's unitarian and specifically have four specific offices. But for the most part, it's, you know, their house in India. They can call an election during a certain period of time. So they're basically a dictator. You know, they're a democratically elected dictator. Like we have a democratically elected dictator, and he's a dick.
Yeah. So, all right. Jim says, I do like the idea that the ballot should be double envelope. Yeah. I like that as well. So that they separate it from, you know, they determine, it's your ballot, the date, the postmark and the signature all match. And, but unfortunately, all that has to be done by hand. So,
well, that's the whole point. I think that this will be an issue. Trump gets a mandate. This will be one of the things that he'll do federally, you know, set up guidelines. In other words, states will handle it, but they may pass a federal law that says all mail-in ballots have to be in a month or 2 weeks before the election opened and, you know, confirmed and run through a machine to be announced on, on election night. And that,
I don't think they could do that, though. I think that
I'm
be,
saying they can, I, but I think he'll attempt.
I think it'd be dangerous, though. The same reason that we don't like here in Montana, obviously, you know, the results from the East Coast start coming in, and the majority of the people live east of the Mississippi. You know, so the bigger states there, Florida, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Ohio, all of those are counted well before our polls even close.
That's right.
You know, so in many cases, people out here may think, well, you know, it's already decided. Why do I need to vote? You know, I mean, it's, you know, somebody's way out ahead or whatever. If it's a tight race, then but. You know, I think the last poll should be closed in the entire nation before they start calling states and stuff.
Yeah, that's
like
the way. Yes, you're correct. I agree with you. And that's the Canadian law. You know, the news media can't make a call or tell us about any votes or anything until all the polls are closed across the country. And then because, again, where it's a parliamentary form of government, within half an hour, even though we vote with a, you know, golf pencil and piece of paper, you know, within a half an hour, we know who the, you know, basically the winning parties look, you know.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you run them through the machine and reads them. And
now, our present sitting prime minister, just to give you a different look, wanted to proportion vote, you know, and so he campaigned on that. You know, we got to make this fair. And we got to give everybody representation. So I want to change the law that it's not the first one across the line that wins, like in your country. So incredibly, this last election, if he had changed the law, the conservatives would be in control and running the country, because they did, in fact, get more votes than him. And we had the reversal here, where the Conservative Party had more votes than both the NDP and the Liberals combined, but not in the right ridings.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's sort of the right counties or whatever. It's a sort of a similar situation.
With the same thing with Hillary. You know, she got 3 million more votes than Trump, but just got him in the wrong place. So that's.
Yeah, but that's not a surprise. She might get 4 because they're going to let 1 million people that aren't citizens in your country in California vote. You know, they will. There'll be 1 million.
Well, they probably will. They're not supposed to, obviously, but no,
they'll let them vote. They're going to mail them all ballots.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Craig says, Jim, that's how mail-in ballots have always worked. That's how they secure them. Trump lies when he claims you can just dump thousands without verification. And I agree with that. I don't think you can dump thousands.
Oh, yeah. They found 16,000 votes last week that had been put in a storeroom from an election from 4 months ago, we counted them and it didn't make a difference. Well,
as long as they're legal ballots, you know, if they're found, whatever,
you know. 6 months later, 3 months later,
well, really. that's a little stretch. Yeah. I would agree with that. I agree. Taking the drama off the TV and news media trying to sway voters is a good idea. They can announce it the next morning, and I would agree with that. I don't think we need to announce it as we go across the country. I think that's a, I think it discourages people from exercising their franchise.
I have to say I disagree with you on. This is a matter of citizenship and what you haven't been taught before. And if you don't know how to vote or the choices you have to vote, you're responsible. It's a personal choice. It's a personal responsibility. And one, the Democrats want to make as easy to take away from you as they can. So the easier they make it for you, the more likely you'll vote for them. And that's all this is. But It is something that should be talked about. It should be fully discussed. People need to know how it works. I mean, look at the situation that Florida now has because of Bloomberg, $100 million to put advertising into Florida. And on top of that, he's covering all the liabilities for felons that have been released and have to pay back or anything they owe to the people, the people that they've hurt or the state. And, you know, the state's law is very clear on this. And, you know, he may have committed a felony, a state felony. It's no different than your state. We've clearly identified you can't use mail-in balloting in your state for federal elections. Mm-hmm. And yet your governor's just ignoring your constitution. I mean, that's scary. It's scary. You know, these people, we have taken an oath to defend the Constitution against foreign and, you know.
Yeah, right.
And then you ignore it. Yeah. Is that defending?
Well, I don't know that we're going to have mail-in ballots for this. I haven't heard, but that's what they're talking about. So, you're right. The Constitution says you can't do it. Yeah, it's got to be an in-person vote.
It's got to be. It should. So, it should.
Yeah. So I don't know. So
if you're infirmed or you're away on a trip, business or personal, you know, you have the opportunity to
absentee ballot. Sure.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah.
Absentee ballot. So, I mean, it's already there. It's been there for years. Now, I know Oregon and Washington have gone along with this and everyone likes to use them as the model because, you know, they say, let the states show us how things work. Well, you don't know how well they work. You really don't.
Yeah. Yeah,
no. They're both blue states, but that doesn't mean that all the voting is proper or that it's being validated properly. You don't know.
Yeah.
It's one of these things you hear about, but there's no investigative reporters out there doing stories, so they don't. They're just sitting at home in their bubble and talking. I hate Trump. I hate Trump. I hate Trump. I hate Trump. Right.
Pretty much. Yeah. I think that's where we are. Let's see. Where are we at here on our, let's go over here. Jim says, that will be, the Supreme Court new nominee, will get to decide, to eliminate these votes in Montana that are not legitimately cast. So we talked about that, that Montana probably won't be an issue at all. Yeah. So,
yeah. And we're talking about the Montana State Supreme Court. We're not even talking about going to the U.S. Supreme. So, I mean, this could be another thing. One of them a day after the election, a week. And they'd take it up. Of course they take it up. It's too important. And the Constitution in your state's really clear. And they just say, none of those ballots matter. They can't, in fact, they can't be used.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that we need to think about too is that with these mail-in ballots, we are going to need a full Supreme Court if this election is contested.
Yeah, we mentioned at the beginning with Barrett.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that we need to do that. Craig says mail-in ballots have the same signature checks as if you were voting in person. You sign in person. You sign the book and show an ID that it's you in Montana, at least.
Well, all states may be different, but if you choose to vote by
absentee.
Thank you. It's a request. So you send in you get a form.
Yeah, send in the thing. Yeah.
And you send in a request. They send it back to you. You fill it out. You sign it. Mm-hmm. And then send it in. And now they have your signature.
Well, the signature has to match the one on the registration card when you register to vote.
That when you first requested an absentee, and you have a registration card that you originally signed. But also the original request for it, they have to match. So they've got three signatures that have to match. Yes.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they do the same thing. They're not going to mail a ballot to every address in a state. They're going to mail it to registered voters in the state. They're not going to mail ballots to every person there.
No, I don't think so. Not in California, in Utah. They're just mailing them out to addresses.
Well, they're not registered voters. How are they gonna match the signature?
Well, that's the big concern is that they're just mailing these out, blanket mailing, and addresses, not to registered voters or anyone like that, just mailing it out to addresses.
Well, they can't do that because there's no way to match the signature that's the person.
But if they don't win the state and the electoral votes, then they delay the election. I mean, that's the whole point.
Well,
this is not just to try to win the election. It's also to have a reason to delay the election. So,
well, that's another reason to have the Supreme Court there, because I think the Supreme Court would say the ballots go to registered voters. You gotta be registered. You gotta be of age. You gotta be, you gotta be a citizen. You gotta be all these things.
That's what's so fascinating about this news cycle with this whole issue of this appointment and nomination of an associate justice. The demolition party doesn't want to bring that point up. They don't want to bring up and try to explain to the American people. Right now, it's a 4-4 vote, potentially a tie.
Yeah.
Which means whatever appeal court below them has decided, that would be the decision.
That will stand,
Well, that's what the Democrats want. Because I know
that's what they want,
But they don't want to try to explain that to American people. That's why they're really behind, on this one. Because they are.
They shot themselves in the foot, one, by eliminating the filibuster, for one, because they can't filibuster against this. And, even if Trump is defeated on November 3rd, he's still the president till the 20th, and they can still pass this deal. Yeah, I mean, they can still put her, whoever it is, on the bench. So
the other thing about this is so fascinating, of course, is the issue about Biden not putting his list out, because he said back in May he would, and now he won't. So last night they had a very interesting gentleman on TV who talked to this point. So I went and did this. Just so everybody knows, I've got these numbers. I want to go over them very quickly here for everybody. So there are 179 Court of Appeal federal judges, 673 district court judges in the U.S., 9 Court of International Trade and 9 Supreme Court justices for a total of 870 federal judges of some type. Mm-hmm. Trump has appointed 2 Supreme Court, 53 Appeals Court, and 159 District Court, 2 international trade judges for 216 total. And he's got another 36 nominations, which would equal 248. And coming up in the next term, he'll have over 250 more that he will be able to appoint. So across the board, you know, 870, he could clearly appoint over 500 new judges, federal judges of different types to your federal courts. Yeah. Huge change. So this, interestingly enough, this gentleman comes on and he says, well, because of the criteria Biden has set out, I'm going to pick an African-American woman to be, you know, my nominee. He said, there's only so many in the court system.
Yeah.
And he said, so they went through and looked at them, and there actually aren't that many African-American women in the court system, which is usually where they take them from, unless you're a Obama and you pick someone from your office, Sotomayor, who's never been a judge and just, you know, a lawyer, maker, you know, associate judge.
Yeah.
And guess who he comes up with? The gal that ran for governor in Georgia. You know, he said, of all the women we looked at, she would be Biden's choice, which would make sense. And I don't know why I wouldn't tell everyone that, because he needs to win Georgia to win. Biden does, you know.
Yeah. But, all right. Oh, let's see. Craig says, Trump is afraid Americans will decide this election. High turnout is always bad for Republicans. Well, I would disagree. I would think high turnout favors Republicans rather than Democrats. Because Republicans just don't bother voting.
Yeah, I would agree with you in normal situations. But I think in normal situations, you're going to have a high turnout of African-American voters for Trump and Hispanics. I think he'll win both the Hispanics. And with this choice of a woman and giving some safety to suburbs, because I think moms, you know, soccer moms are scared. I think they're going to vote for Trump. So we'll see. We'll
find out, I guess.
We'll find out. But as we said, if he gets anything over 10%, if he gets anything over 15%, it's a landslide for sure of African-American voters.
Yeah.
If he gets anything over 30% of Hispanics, it's a landslide, because there's so many states that he would take as a result of that. So we'll see.
Craig says only registered voters get mailed ballots. That's how it works. I would agree. I don't think they're mailing ballots to every single person in the country. Jim says, I'm getting older. My signature has changed. My vote could easily be eliminated because my signature doesn't match anymore. And that's what's going to decide this, because you're going to have 3 or 4 people that are going to sit around and decide, do these signatures match? And that's why it'll take forever for this thing to be decided if it's close.
Well, that's why an absentee ballot works, because when you send in a request, sign it, they'll look at your registration card. And if the signatures don't match, they will contact you by mail and say, we have a problem with your signature. Can you verify, you know, your signature? So, I mean, you're all right, Jim. If you do an absentee vote, that covers you. It won't happen.
It would cover you either way. If you're a registered voter, you sign a card too.
Yeah, that's right.
So, let's see.
And you can always re-register for that reason in both our countries.
Yeah.
So anytime you go to elect or vote both a state or federal election, you say, I'd like to fill out a new registration card because I'm getting older and I want my proper card. You know, and they'll just paperclip it to your other registration card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Craig says there are more Democrats than Republicans, so high turnout helps Democrats. Well, you're forgetting the independents, Jim, or Craig. That's what you're forgetting. So that's why Trump doesn't want mail-in. Well, the independents are more middle of the road. That's why they're not, you know, cultists for either party. So
31.2% Republican people in your country. 33.8% Democrat in your public, that's 65. 35% are independent, libertarian, and undecided. Yeah. And that 35% always makes the decision. So that's it. You're not divided, you're tri-vided. We've talked about it. It's a new word. I had created a new word, tri-vided.
Tri-vided. All right. Good for you. I'm excited.
Yeah, but it hasn't made the dictionary yet.
Yeah. Yeah, Jim says, voted in Colorado for years. They have a good system. Other states do not have as good a system. So we'll see. So it's going to be pretty interesting how this thing finally plays out, because, it's a lot of unknowns here.
Well, for the demolition party to survive, because if they go down and defeat in a landslide, they could become a regional party, which we talked about. Mm-hmm. The only thing that can help them in the 21st century is to use 21st century technology to do these elections. Problem with that is anything online is, exposed. It could be hacked. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how long that might take for people to be convinced that it's secure. I don't think they'd ever be. But this, this mailing in the vote and everything is, it may be something that, in our children's or grandchildren's lifetime may come about. I think the more people look at it, the less secure they feel. Because it's only one vote, but it could change an election. We know that, right?
Yeah. No question. Yeah. Linda thinks many registered Democrats are going to vote for Trump, and that could certainly be possible. And there's probably some registered Republicans that are going to vote for Biden. So we don't know.
Or not vote at all.
So, Jim thinks if you can't be bothered by going to a polling place to vote for one of the most important things you will do, I'm not sure I want you to vote. And I would go along with that, Jim. I'd rather you not vote for a yard sign or, something right in ERA landmark or, Coldwell Banker. Jim thinks, I think you and I, Tom, are independent. I don't drink all the Kool-Aid, and I don't drink all the blue Kool-Aid. I prefer Crown Whiskey myself. Canadians make the best whiskey because all the original moonshiners moved to Canada during Prohibition. So that may be right. I don't know.
Jim is absolutely right, because that's why there's no outrage here. Everyone's drunk.
Yeah, that must be it. Yeah, I was going to say, you're not demonstrating Vancouver down these days, so that's a good thing. Ruth is going to show up at the Capitol, the Supreme Court, I guess. She's going to lay in state there, lay in repose, I guess. People who are elected, I think, lay in state, and those who are appointed lay in repose. So I don't know.
She will lay in state in the Capitol at the end of the week. So
yeah. So
if you're under the Capitol Rotunda, you're laying in state. That's the
right
center of your room. And that's a very rare acknowledgement.
Quite a deal. So.
And the first woman justice to do both. So
yeah.
Amazing.
So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Hero of a woman. It's amazing, but she was a great suffragette, born before the constitutional amendment was adopted 100 years ago. So, this is a pretty amazing thing.
Anne had a hard time rising to her potential too, because of the discrimination against women. She was demoted from a job because she was pregnant. She was passed over for a lot of jobs because she was a woman,
and Jewish.
And Jewish too. So from that standpoint, she was 96-3, I think, confirmed by the Senate.
Yes, she was.
She was first nominated by Bill Clinton.
48 days before the election.
Yeah, didn't take long to get her on the court. So, turned out to be not a great, obviously a liberal justice by every definition out there, but
all the scholars, legal and otherwise, all the books, legal and otherwise, about Roe versus Wade, said it was a bad call in that the mm-hmm. what they wrote in support of it and opposed to it. It was a woman out of Washington State who had been wrongly treated and dismissed from her job. And it, you know, and it was because she was pregnant and on. But the bottom line, it got to the Supreme Court and the pro-choice people had looked for it because she started in on this case before it got to the Supreme Court. So she didn't recuse herself. And during the she convinced the court that this was a case of women not being equal to men. This was never about abortion.
Yeah.
Never about a woman's right to abortion. This was about women were not equal to men. We need to pass this to make women equal to men, you know, that's what America is. And she convinced three conservative justices to go along with Roe versus Wade on that mm-hmm. basis. And then as a result of that, abortion cases came to the court and the justices used Roe versus Wade for, you know, to vote in favor of those abortion issues. And that's how this happened. So it's, you know, again, the media doesn't explain this to you. Roe versus Wade was just about abortion. A woman has a right to. No, it had nothing to do about abortion.
Yeah, it didn't. Yeah. Craig says it's 2020, time to improve how we vote. I would agree with that, Craig. Voting by mail improves turnout and representation. Some people still use film for photos and use a VCR. And I think Shane does both of those. But voting by mail is I don't see a problem with that. You know, if Montana decided to change their constitution and do that, so yeah, wouldn't it be a big deal to me? And you know, we've had absentee ballots forever, and they seem to work fine. And we send ballots to the military, and you know, all of that stuff. So yeah, why not?
Well, there's an amazing right in the Bill of Rights about states' rights. Mm-hmm. There's always this discussion in your country about, well, you know, let's see how states, and we've already said this, but let's see how states handle, single payer insurance and no pay insurance like Massachusetts. Right. And we'll see if it works out. And this is the same thing. You know, they go, oh, let's see how mail-in balloting works. Cause the states really get to make a choice and they're managing it. We'll check it out. But then at some point, if they see something they like, then they sort of pick it up like Massachusetts, you know, healthcare system and turned into Obamacare. Didn't work out well. Having said that, you know, this is a, you know, it's a 14th Amendment, I believe. No. What's the 10th. State right? 10th. Thank you. It's a 10th Amendment. And, you know, so it's been very well decided. I mean, the precedents on the 10th Amendment are lengthy and long. There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
So you're right. It would be very hard for the federal government to come up with some kind of legislation or maybe guidelines, but I don't think that they could be enforced. They could be guidelines, but I don't think they could be enforced.
No, you still got states' rights in there. So they should be able to vote however they want to vote. So Jim says Ruth Gator Ginsburg was an awesome woman. We should all have her stamina, and she was entitled to her liberal position, and she was sophisticated not to take a belligerent position, and was also good friends with Anton Scalia, who was her opposite as much as anyone could be. Denise is saying, how come dead people are getting mail-in votes mailed to their last address? Well, because we don't keep the voter rolls up to date. That's the biggest problem, I think, with that, you know, you've got folks in there, not highly paid individuals who, you know, you've got a voter registration card, unless someone lets you know that person has deceased or whatever. If you don't vote in a certain number of elections, you're taken off the rolls.
Another important observation there is, you see all these polls are registered voters, or they say most likely to vote. Well, the only way they're most likely to vote means you're a registered voter. So they either are straightforward, they call registered voters, or most likely to vote. You know, it's sort of like, I have a source, but I can't tell you. Oh, now I have three sources. But so the point is that when these pollsters look at who they want to call, you know, they go, well, let's call registered voters or most likely voters, registered voters. Why? Because in most states, if you're a registered voter, you declare your party.
Yeah.
A lot of states you don't have to, but in a lot of states you are required to, you know, choose a party.
We're not required in Montana to declare a party.
But like in New York and California are, because you can only vote in one or the other primaries. And that's how they get around it. You shouldn't have to. I mean, it's like asking people who you vote for. You know, if you know what party you are, it's pretty clear who you're going to vote for. Having said that, the pollsters use these same roles, the most likely or registered voter roles, to call. And that's why the methodology of their polls are so bad, because 60% of the people they call are registered Democrats or, you know, like most likely, as they claim to be, Democrats. Well, that's instantly going to skew it. I mean, because
I believe what you're saying, and that was the point I was making about 2016, that the pollsters got shot in the foot. You know, they were wrong. They were way wrong. And
same thing today.
And to use the same methodology now wouldn't make sense. Why be wrong again? Why be wrong again? I don't understand that. You know,
when you go to these poll sites and you look at them and you go, you know, how many people, you know, you're talking about 300 to 1500 people, first of all. Yeah. And you go and see their method. They tell you right on the site, you know, 60%.
Oh, yeah. You can go to the poll itself and look at the questions.
60% Democrat, 30% Republican, 10%, you know, undecided, independent, or libertarian.
That methodology didn't work in 2016. Why would they repeat the same methodology? I mean, they're being paid for their accuracy. To be accurate, they're being paid to be correct. Why would they do the same stupid methodology that didn't work in 2016?
And Comey shouldn't have tried to have a coup with the president. Tom, it's the same thing. Well, you know,
I don't understand. If you're in business, if you're a polling company and you're in business, your only job is to be accurate. That's all it is.
Well, that's why the difference in the two parties is the Demolition Party use these public pollsters because they want to, you know, they want to put out the numbers to the public. Republicans don't spend any money on public pollsters. They do their own internal post, and they do them state by state. They don't do national polls.
They pay somebody to do that.
Internally, yes. Not public. They're not public.
Yeah, but if you, I agree with you. A New York Times poll, an NBC poll, a Fox poll. Yeah, I'm not going to put a whole lot of weight in those polls.
Oh no,
but the people who are paid pollsters.
I appreciate that, but I'm saying I'm not. Well, I'm not at all surprised, nor do I not expect. That, you know, depending on the debates. Now, this is depending on the debates. So I would expect that Biden would win by 2% of the popular vote, like Hillary did.
Yeah.
I mean, Gore beat Bush, you know, or had more votes than Bush. But that's not the law. That's not the rule, you know.
I understand that.
And for Don Lemon, you know, to come on, I got to tear the system down. We got to get rid of the Electoral College. This guy doesn't even know how to pee straight, okay? I'm sorry. If some of these people in the comments they make are so anti-republic and anti-citizen, and I'm sorry, they're traitorous. I mean, to tell people you want to tear down your system, destroy your constitution, change it in ways to your advantage, that's to me, You know, that's a traitorous statement. And of course your liability laws.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To do it, and that's fine.
All right.
But you saw in D.C. what they did with that young boy who committed suicide, right?
Yeah.
They wrongly accused him, and then they came out and said they were sorry, and too late.
Yeah, guy's still dead. Craig wants to know, how can Shane stand living in socialism in Canada? I would think it would drive him back south.
We're not socialists, you know. Please, we have six parties here.
Yeah, just your healthcare socialist, not anything else. You're a capitalist country.
We're a capitalist country, absolutely. Yeah.
Pretty obvious.
You can't be a commodity-based country, commodity-based, and not be capitalist. You wouldn't survive.
Yeah. That's...
Anyway, our provincial government has called for an election 2 days ago, and it'll be October 22nd. So we're going to have an election before yours, called 2 years after you.
Is the golden boy going to make it this time around, do you think?
He's the NDP, National Democratic, or National Democratic Party, they're socialists. He's got like a 24% lead. But he's got a minority. Really? He's got a minority government with the Green Party,
yeah.
And then we have what we call the Liberal Party, which is actually the Conservative Party in the province. Don't ask me that. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. No outrage, because you don't know. If you don't know, what's going on,
okay. Greg says if Roe versus Wade is overturned, it does not make abortion illegal. That would be true. It would.
Well, Roe versus Wade will not be overturned because it has nothing to do with abortion.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. So what the Supreme Court will do is take up, is a child when is life?
Yeah. When does life begin? What's what they'll take up?
Probably. Is it 2 weeks after? Is it 3 months after? They'll make that decision, and then you won't be able to, that'll be the window. Then the next one will be, well, can anyone get an abortion? And that'll be another, for any reason, and then they may narrow it, incest, rape, something wrong with the mother and child, neither will survive. That's what things will happen.
Yeah. It's not going to be a single overturning of anything. It's going to be a whole bunch of decisions based on circumstances and whatever. So, to go after Amy Barrett or anybody else sitting on the Supreme Court that heaven forbid we should stop killing babies. Oh my God.
Your federal government, neither party is going to pick this up to legislate it. They're just not going.
I don't think so. Yeah.
I mean, the Republicans would like to because the polls have turned. I mean, a lot of these questions I just said, over 50% of Americans want, choice, specific reasons, a specific period of time. They want the court or the government to say, birth is at conception. And it is. Give me a break. Come on.
Yeah, should be anyway. Craig wants to point out dead people can't sign the envelope. If someone in the house forges it, it's a felony. And that would, of course, be true. Mm-hmm. Karen says, just how hard would it be in our computer age to tie in death certificate to a voter rolls? Yeah, I question that myself. How hard would that be? Tom says,
people. That's
what I mean. Yeah. How do you know they're not being paid to be correct?
Reading out my comment. When I say the same people in the counties of your country, the same individual that has that job of record keeping is looking at the deaths and the registration. Mm-hmm. It's the same department, right? It is.
Yeah.
They don't have separate departments, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Tom wants to know, how are the pollsters being paid to be correct? Well, I think if you're in the business of polling, I think the person would want to know, good, bad, or otherwise, the correct polling. Now, they may be paid for results. Yeah, they may be paid to find a result. That's like global warming. Find me proof that the planet's warming, or find me proof that we've got 10 years left, or 9 years, or 8 years, or however long that is that we have left. So,
well, one of the concerns about pollsters that worries me is they never tell you how many phone calls they made. That would be a real interesting number to see.
It's the number of people in the poll. They call 600 people, 800 people.
No,
whatever.
That's not correct. My point is, they say this poll was 1,592 people. But how many phone calls did you make? Because a lot of people hang up. They don't want
that's true.
I think that you know, because they might have to call 4,000, 5,000 people. So say it's 1,500 people they call. So if you've had to call over 3,000 people, then less than 50% of the people you called responded to this. It weakens the poll. It weakens the poll.
I agree. So, that's what I say. I don't hold a whole lot of stock in these polls.
Yeah. I don't either.
One way or the other.
So, I don't either. Yeah.
Yeah, Craig says, Karen, I think because there's no standard for counties, but you're right, there should be a way of matching up death certificates with voter registration. I wouldn't think 100%. It would be that tough to do. Denise says, I doubt it wouldn't be hard to do in small towns, but in big cities like New York and Chicago, it's going to take a lot more time. But this canceling deceased voter certificates do definitely need to be addressed after this election. And I'd agree with Denise on that. What do you think, Shane?
Well, because it's the state's right, it's your state legislator that are failing. And they're the ones who should set the guidelines and rules. In the example of Montana, my goodness gracious, Montana's been around for a long time.
Yeah,
and when you wrote your state constitution, you wrote it in there.
Yeah,
and you know, and now maybe I'm sure you can amend your state constitution. I'm not sure how old that law is that we've read. Maybe you could look it up and see it. It would probably tell you when it was adapted.
It is in the 70s.
It's not a law. It's in your constitution.
It was 79, something like that. So I'm not sure when the last, I think it was in the 70s. If Clint was here, he could tell us. So you'll love this one. Remember after 2016 election, Trump said we should get rid of the Electoral College. No, I don't remember that.
I think he ever said that. No,
I don't think he ever said that.
He's been a big defender of it forever because
I was going to say, he won because of it. Why would he want to get rid of it?
Yeah, I don't, Craig. I don't know how many cabbage trucks pass your house because you fall off a lot of them. Seriously.
It seems the Dems want the U.S. to be socialist like Canada. Trump is actually a socialist. TikTok. Farmer bailouts. Well, once again, we are a capitalist country with some socialist programs. We're not a socialist country, nor will we ever be one.
Yeah, and pick up your book. Go on the internet. Canada, you know, you all think we're overtaxed. Yeah, we are just like you. You know, and that we're some socialist, you know, blood yard like you know Russia or the Soviet Union. I mean, come on. Please, you shouldn't make that statement, Craig, if you don't even know, you know. Like, who's the Prime Minister, Craig, of Canada right now? Why don't you tell us all who it is?
There you are.
By the way, here's a big hint. His father was Prime Minister, too.
Yeah, that's right. Jim has a question for Greg. Is a fetus alive? So I guess we'll have to wait for that answer. We can measure global temps. We can't measure. We can measure global temps. We can't predict global temps, and that's right. You can't.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, on your planet, you know, life doesn't evolve. All right, it occurs. So, conception is an action of life, and for every living form on your planet. You know, it conception is a fact. Oh, excuse me, of life. Wow, what a great thing to say.
Pretty impressive that you know that.
Yeah, you'd think everyone else would figure it out. It's not that complicated.
You'd think that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, You know, everybody beats up the religions of the world because creationism. And, you know, they want to believe in evolution. But they deny their own science. I mean, again, this whole issue about Roe versus Wade wasn't about abortion. But every decision that was made since then, the court has denied the science. That's the other problem they're going to have. So the science is real now. You can't remember, Biden says, we believe in science. Well, science says life begins for a human embryo at conception. So you're going to deny that science? I mean, right? Like you got these guys by a hook.
I was say, aren't we a bunch of cells, living cells or something? I don't know. Anyway,
trillion I don't cell. Know. Yeah. Trillion cell blob, okay, they can talk.
Yeah, as they used to say on Star Trek, ugly bags of water is what we are.
That was a good show, actually. That
was a good show back then.
Yeah, because what is it, 86 or something, or 92% water? And
yeah, something like that. Yeah, I don't know.
Turns everybody into a cone.
Yeah, aren't we worth about $1.42 in minerals, whatever? So I don't know. I forget what that is, but
yeah.
Jim says the best indicator we have of a climate change on the Earth is the sun. The sun makes up 99.9% of our solar system. If the sun varies just a small amount, it can affect the Earth drastically. Yeah, we are carbon units. That's what we were from Star Trek.
carbon units. That's right. And Jim, the sun is going into a solar moment. And we've covered this, fewer sunspots, and it does this every 15 to 30 years. And the fewer sunspots, the less heat generated on our planet. So, that, you know,
we cool, we warm, you know, whatever.
So, called the modern minimum. It's been studied since the 1600s, the sun, and the modern minimum, go look it up, M-A-U-D-E-R, minimum. And you'll see true science about the temperature of the planet, and we're actually heading into a cold spell. Now, it could be bad. Some people say it could be real bad, like a ice age, or a mini ice age. That if that happens, most of the crops in North America, both in Canada and the United States, won't be able to grow. It'll be too cold. So if that's right, 2050, as close as it's getting, could be disastrous for the population.
That's right. Oh, we'll be able to grow ice plant.
That's right.
All right. Jim says you're 100% right on, Shane. So there you go. You got Jim on your side.
Oh, my God. Where's Craig? Come on, Craig. Help me out, buddy.
Well, let's see. Another news we've got to talk about. Cindy McCain has decided to endorse Biden. No surprise there, I don't think.
Oh, my God.
He stands up for our values as a nation. Yeah, he's a stand-up guy, all right. So, Cindy is on the beam there. I feel like
that kid left at home at Christmas and his family goes away on a holiday. Cindy McCain is backing Biden?
What a surprise. I don't know. So, that's kind of where we are, I guess.
Talk about pandering. If she didn't back Biden, the View would throw her off the show.
Yeah, that would be the truth. So, and also, of course, heaven forbid we get a budget. The House approves a stopgap measure to avoid the shutdown at the end of September. So, and the census is going to end at the end of September too, rather than the end of October. So we may not get a fully accurate count in our census. So that's another great thing we got going for us. So
once again, folks, because we've been through this for years, Tom and I, and we always laugh about it. A CR was passed in the last 48 hours, continuing resolution by both the House and amazingly by the Senate, sent to the president, signed to continue funding your government. Right. Wow. They did that in 48 hours. Okay.
I know.
And everything. You know, like when it comes down to getting their paycheck, because they're essential workers.
I was going to say, we'll get that done quickly.
And you don't hear Pelosi at her news conference saying, well, we sided with the Democrats to fund the country, so we couldn't shut it down. No, they're not going to do that, right?
Not at all. Not going to happen.
Close pinned every time you hear they pass a continuing resolution because it stinks.
Yeah. So, well, and also in Kentucky, they're preparing for the Breonna Taylor announcement as to whether or not they're going to take the police who they showed up with a no-knock warrant looking for drugs or something that was supposed to be there and shot Breonna along with a boyfriend and whatever else. And killed her. She was not guilty of anything and was what, EMT or a nurse or something. I forget what she was, but
yeah, she's a nurse. Yeah,
So a serious mistake on the part of the police, and whether they're going to determine whether it was an actual crime.
Yeah. What was Breonna Taylor doing living in a house with a person clearly she had to know was a drug dealer or involved with drugs? And she's a nurse. So, yeah. You know, you can't look at this without going, wait a second. Yeah. Why would she be in that environment? Because, you know, I wouldn't want her as a nurse.
Yeah.
We don't have enough evidence. I've looked at
The boyfriend or whoever it was thought it was a home invasion, so he started shooting because they came in with no knocking. I mean, they didn't knock and say we're the police. And when they were shot at, they returned fire, and she was on the wrong end of getting it. So were the police justified in coming in with a no-knock warrant?
Right. Yes.
That's kind of the decision. Okay, so they're going to have to make.
Yeah. So the question is, in your life, because I've had this in mind, in your life, when you communally lived, because at some point we all do, because we can't afford our own place, and you had roommates, did you ever have roommates that you knew were doing dastardly things and left? Or did you stay? Yeah. Did you know? You know, I found out I had moved in with, I thought, a car salesman, insurance salesman, and a businessman. They were all running heroin and coke, man, and I was out in 72 hours, 3 days I was in and out. But did that not happen to you ever? Did you not move out because of the bad behavior of roommates?
Actually I did come to think of it.
Why didn't she? I mean, come on.
I don't know. Anyway, she got a $12 million. The family did anyway. They got a $12 million settlement. Whether or not that will influence the decision, the legal decision or not, I don't know. I don't know if that can be taken into account or not.
Well, the great thing about this, before we go real quick, I love it because all the African-American announcers on all the networks, including Fox, because of this decision by Kentucky to settle with her family, they praise it.
Yeah.
Why can't we be like Kentucky? Why can't we sit down and work this out and give them a reparation for what's happened? $12 million in this case. Well, we've reported now for how many years? Almost 10. No, 8, 6. In Chicago, right? In Chicago, there are over $850 million in settlements like this, okay, because of the shootings.
Yeah.
And it doesn't stop the shootings. Why?
It's profitable.
You know, take a bullet for the family and, you know, we'll all end up millionaires. I mean,
Well, that's fine unless you're the one taking the bullet for the family.
What can I say? That's what's going on. We've talked about it. I hate to put it that way. Hoping it'll go viral and we'll get 10,000 people watching us.
Well, maybe. Let's hope so. Well, if you want to watch, hey, we're back here tomorrow at 9 o'clock Mountain Time. We're here every weekday, I should say. And we're also on radio on Saturday. You can listen to us live anywhere in the world. Go to KMMSAM.com, KMMSAM.com. And we'll be over there. You can just click listen now. We're on from 8 to 11 Mountain Time, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Mountain Time. And you can hear us over there. You can call us on the phone. You can text us. You can do all sorts of crap when we're on the air. And we're on with limited commercial interruption, by the way, also. So And if you missed any of our past shows, including our Saturday show, you can watch past shows or listen to our radio shows at KMMSAM.com. Just click on Tom and Shane's podcast, and they'll direct you where to go to hear those absolutely free. And, of course, if you're watching us right now on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe, like us, comment on the podcast below. And we really appreciate you YouTubers coming over and checking us out. And, you know, as I say, we're here every day at 9 o'clock. So put that on your calendar to come in and check us out. So, Tom Eaglehoff, your morning mayor, and Shaman Tobin, half man, half amazing, in Vancouver, British Columbia. It's been our pleasure to be with you this afternoon, and we really appreciate all the comments and everything. As a parting thing, good thing Shane wasn't shot because his drug dealer wouldn't shot. Good thing you weren't shot by your drug dealer, I guess.
My drug dealer.
Well, the guy you moved in with.
I agree with him completely. And one word for everything he was saying, download, download, download. That's Listen, right. Everyone, we love you. You're our family. Be happy. Be safe. Live in the moment. Live to work. Think about that. Live to work. Don't work for the man. And God bless the great people of the United States and Canada. And thank goodness we have the opportunity to live in the two greatest country clubs in the world.
That's for sure, man. All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks for all the comments, everyone. Hey, all views are welcome here, as our comments clearly indicate. And, you know, our motto always is, if you think it there's a darn good chance we'll say it here. So we'll see everybody tomorrow, 9 o'clock. Mike McCormick, Money Guru, will be our special guest. We'll be talking about dollars and cents and, well, everything is every stupid thing the government is doing. So stay tuned for that. So we'll see everybody tomorrow, 9 a.m. Thanks for being with us.